I appreciate what he's done. And I appreciate how he has helped us to be able to tell about it. Yes. Now, it's just like the Lord. My message is about praise and testimony. That is the Lord, isn't it? He gives us good examples, and then he takes us to the Word. So we want to start in Revelations 12, 10 and 11, and pray for me, because we'd like to be mindful of the time. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." The accuser that's accusing us before God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, of course, and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. I am convinced in these last days that the word of our testimony is going to be more important than it's ever been. That is, we are going to have to open our mouths. The world is getting darker. And we are the instruments. And we are the only ones that can open up and be able to tell what God has done. And it's going to be very, very important. Now, we read this. This was a vision that John wrote about. So, he's reading about what is to take place later. Here they all are in heaven, and it says, you know, what happened? So is this a prophecy? Is this a prophecy? The prophecy says that we're going to overcome by two things. Two things. The blood of the Lamb and our word of our testimony. That's how we're going to overcome. The brother started it off this morning with the word of his testimony. Now, why did that work? What happened here this morning? The word of the testimony. And he stood and he was excited. And he was vulnerable. He says, "I fought through the night. You know, I was having a hard time. I was going through some things." And then the Lord came and he helped him. Do you know that we get so caught up? We get so caught up in thinking that we have to have a huge testimony, that we have to have something like my testimony, where we're, you know, you're down at death's door and the Lord raises you up and then you can have a testimony. No. We have a testimony every day. We have something every day. We keep our mouths shut because we don't think it's important enough. And we need to realize that all the praise that goes forth is important enough. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, "The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by every joint, supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of what? The body, unto the edifying of itself." The increase of the body comes from testimony. It comes from testimony. People are moved by testimony. They're moved by what you saw, what you heard, what you've been through, how the Lord has blessed you. It was one of the things my husband used to ask people all the time. They would say things about God and this and that, and then he would say, "Okay, that's good, but I want to know, what did he do for you?" Yes. In other words, what's your testimony? What did he do for you? Because you can talk a lot of religion, but it has to be something that God has given you down deep inside. In Romans 12 and 1, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service." Give him your whole body. That means I give him my embarrassment. I give him my weaknesses, my shyness, all of the things that are about me. I give him all of that and I let him use it. Yes. People are so concerned They feel like, well, my testimony isn't good enough. My prayer isn't good enough. Other people do it so much better. I'm going to tell you, I can speak for myself, and I think I speak for all of them here. When you hear somebody get up that doesn't have, excuse my expression, the gift of gab, and they testify, and they stumble all over their words, and it's mixed with tears, and doesn't it do something for you? You know, because you know they're having to push over everything that is telling them be quiet. And they're having to push over. And it's just such a blessing when that happens. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." A royal priesthood, chosen generation, holy nation, peculiar people. And what are we supposed to show forth? Praises. Praises. Oh, God deserves so many more praises than we give him. He deserves more. He deserves. We have one sister in our congregation, every time she starts out all of her prayers, "Lord, we're so thankful you woke us up in our right mind this morning." You know, if what we can wake up without it. I mean, we could wake up without it. And then where would we be? There are so many things to praise the Lord about. And the Lord needs praise. He craves praise. He loves us. And he wanted someone to commune with and to have sweet, sweet fellowship with. And that's what we are. And we're supposed to bring forth his praises. We are it. The holy nation that has to bring this forth. Other nations aren't going to bring it forth. Those that are not holy aren't going to bring it forth. They bring forth ridicule. How many times have you heard people say that, well, if that's what religion is, then I don't want anything to do with it. See, the ones that are the holy nation have got to be louder than the ones that are not the holy nation. They got to be louder. You know, our services are so quiet. They're so quiet. I came among the saints when it wasn't quiet. I was used to that. And I was in the Pacoima congregation for years. And we had sisters. Mother Davenport, she used to run the aisles. She just literally would run the aisles, you know, just get up, whoo, she'd go off. I have enjoyed Sister Shirley Knight over the years. She, you know how she gets. And she would sit behind us sometimes, and you would hear her. It would start in her seat. You would hear her. She'd go, whoo. And then it'd go, whoo. You know, and she would start, it would just start. And then pretty soon she's flying up, you know, and my husband would hear her do that first little whoo, and he'd say, "Here she goes." You know, it's exciting. Yes. I remember one time, oh, our praise and our thanksgiving. I remember one time we were in Pacoima, I mean, not Pacoima, but in Monarch. And there was a testimony that came in about a little baby that was, something had to do with its hips weren't staying in place or whatever. And they wanted to do surgery and they were wanting the prayer for the baby and all these different things. And then they were testifying how that the Lord had come in and the joints were staying where they were supposed to stay, you know, and everything. And it was quiet. It was quiet. And all of a sudden my husband got up and he said, "Did you just hear that?" He says, "Did you just hear that? We should all be on our feet and praising the Lord and saying, 'Thank you, Lord.'" People say all the time, you know, "We don't seem to see the healings anymore." Well, we're not thankful. We're not thankful. We don't praise him for them. We don't really praise him enough when somebody says, you know, the Lord gave me victory, we should hear shouts all over the house. When we hear that somebody has gotten healed, we should hear shouts here and there. And if we all wanted to shout, it'd be all right.
Amen.
We're so quiet.
Help us, Lord.
So God heals in quiet ways. We see, we bring on how God works with us sometimes. We want to be all quiet about it, He'll be all quiet about it. We want to shout and praise about it, we might see somebody get up from this altar and have something. Because we don't see that very often, do we? But we also don't see anybody getting up and shouting very often when they say, "The Lord touched me this morning when I went to the altar." Silence.
Yep.
Listen, we're going to overcome in our own life.
Yes.
We're going to overcome the accusations of the devil and all that he's coming against us by the word of our testimony. And listen, I know what I'm talking about because I am not an outward person. I am not a very good conversationalist. My husband, I didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? If anybody knew him, I didn't have to. All I had to do was stand next to him, and I was completely insulated, and I did not have to speak anything. And so I didn't learn. I didn't learn how to do it. Now I'm having to pray all the time and saying, "Lord, help me to know how to open up and start conversations that were so easy for him to do, but I never learned how." And it's difficult. It's very difficult for me. I couldn't be in a speech class. I couldn't speak in front of people. I couldn't. I took a speech class in high school. I got so embarrassed and so out of breath and everything, I could not speak. And yet this is what God called me to do. And I didn't think I could do it, but it's why many times I know that God does it, because I don't know what to say to start. And I don't know what to say to finish. You know, some ministers have a big, long, nice dialogue, you know, that sets you up. And then at the end, they have a nice dialogue to go into the altar service. I don't have that. I start out usually reading my scripture. And then the Lord starts pouring in. That I don't have all that extra. I'd like to. Sometimes when I sit down, I say, "Oh, I could have said this or that." But it doesn't come to me. So many times, and it'll probably happen today, at the end, I say the last sentence and I say amen and walk away. I don't have all of the other things. And so it's been difficult for me. When I first started testifying, I cried every time I testified. I cried and cried and cried. And I got so tired of it, you know, and I hated it, because you know you have an ugly face when you cry. You have an ugly face and you're all red and, you know, nobody wants. And so you don't want to do it. But I cried and cried. I just recently, this message I preached at home, and I told him, I said, "Listen, we're all wearing masks. It doesn't matter if you cry. We can't see it. We can't see your ugly face. You know, go ahead, get up, do whatever. But I mean, if you want a little cover, I mean, you got a little cover right now. You know, practice a little. It'll be all right. You'll make it through.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but we feel like that here we are, this chosen generation and all. And it says we overcome the wicked one that's accusing us all the time by the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
Yes, God did his part. He applied the blood. We're clean. The other half is ours. The other half of this equation is ours to do. And if we don't do it, we will not have the victories that we need. We won't have them. It says in John 3, 10 and 11, it says in here, this is the story of Nicodemus, and I just wanted to pick up these two verses at the end of this story of Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee," and he's speaking of himself, "we speak that we know, that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness." Jesus is saying, can't you just testify to what you've seen? Can you just testify to what you know? That's what a testimony is. It's not some big flowery thing that we have to think up, you know, or that we have to work up in any kind of a way. We're just testifying about what's happening. We think that we have to have some big thing to get us up out of our seat. I would like to challenge you, instead of saying, I know that we do everything under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but I think people use that to not move. I just didn't know if I didn't feel the Spirit, and I wasn't sure, and all these things. Why don't you turn that around and say, Lord, do you want me to stay in my seat? Lord, do you want me to sit here? Do you want me not to talk? Do you want me not to tell this, Lord? Is this what you're asking of me right now? Why don't you just turn it around? It'll be different. There is nothing wrong with standing up in the service. Testimonies add to the service, no matter when they come or how they come. And there are some that are, oh, they're very good with testifying. And there are others that it's not as flowery a speech, but it doesn't matter because they add. Do you know when people come in to the congregation, I've told them there at home, I said, when they come in, I said, and here you have the word, and you have the word going forth or anything. They don't even know if you believe it. They don't know if you believe it because you're not saying anything. You know, and the minister sometimes has a difficult message to bring forth. And maybe somebody walked in that you didn't know was going to be there. And you know that your message could be some kind of a hardship here. And yet you're still having to do it. It would be nice to have some help. And the help is when you believe what's being said and you agree with it, you know, and you open up our mouths. We've had big gatherings here, but we haven't had a whole lot of amens and things. You know, we always hear Brother Carl. We hear him. I'm trying to learn. I say a lot, but it's quiet. I'm trying to learn to have a louder voice. Lord, help me. That my voice would be a little louder so that maybe actually somebody around me might hear it rather than just, I don't know, edifying just between me and the Lord. Yes. It says in Matthew 15:31, it says, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. That's wonderful, isn't it? That was something to see. Yes. I just want to know, were you dumb?
Help us, Lord.
Was there a time you were dumb? Was there a time that you were maimed and not whole? Do you think that these people that couldn't speak and then spoke, do you think they ever got tired of telling that I used to be dumb and now I can speak? Do you think they ever got tired of saying, I used to not be able to walk, but I can walk now? Did they ever get tired of it? But yet, we were all these things spiritually, but we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to tell about it. It's all right to tell it over and over. Are you thankful or not? Does he deserve praise or not? See, we're going to overcome the two ways we overcome the enemy is the blood. He did that. He cleansed us. He cleaned us. He made us new creatures. And the word of our testimony. That's the other way. People think they can be quiet about what God has done for them and have a successful experience, but it won't be successful. You have to open your mouth and praise God. You have to give him what is due to him. We have all of our trials and our tests. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise the trial of your faith. I'm convinced that we go through many trials because the Lord wants us to praise him. Could it be possible we would not have as many trials if we were willing to praise him all the time for other things? If the only time we get up is when there's some kind of big trial that he's taken me through, if that's the only time I'm willing to get up, then what is it going to bring us? But if I'm willing to get up at the littlest thing, if I recognize the littlest thing every day, see, the problem is we don't recognize the littlest things that he's doing for us every day. Just, you know, oh, we come to church. I lost my keys. I prayed and the Lord helped me find them. You know, thank the Lord. But what about, I didn't lose my keys today. Nothing went wrong today. Praise God. Amen. How many days of those like that do we have? Do we praise God only when something bad has happened and then he's corrected it? Then the only praise he'll get is when he brings that. So he's going to bring it. So you will praise because he knows the only way you're going to overcome is through your praise and testimony, and you won't do it on your own. So he's going to bring something so that you will. I was talking to the congregation at home and I was telling them that, you know how Wednesday nights go. You know, a few pray and then a few testify. And most of the times, not everybody. And I was telling them at home, I said, we all need to come prepared to pray. Prepared. Because many times, I remember what it was like. I would get ready. It's Wednesday night and I'm going to church and everything. And I get in church and it's almost like you forget what's supposed to happen there or something. And you get down to pray and you go, oh, well, you know, I don't feel anything. I don't feel I don't have a start to a prayer or anything. And I wait and we wait. We wait for somebody else, you know, to start. When testimony comes, you know, well, I don't. What happens? I can't think of anything to testify about. What is wrong with me? See, that should be scary. That should be scary. That God has kept you for a whole week. That he has blessed you a whole week. That you have read the word. You have prayed. And at the end of that week, from Wednesday to Wednesday, I can't think of anything for a testimony. Isn't it sad? I told them that people will say, well, they will say, well, just get up and say, I'm glad I'm saved. I said, I'm not going to tell you that. I don't tell them that. No, I'm not going to tell you that. Because if that's all you're willing to praise him, is just that one sentence, then how much are you going to overcome the wicked one? A little bit. A little bit. Yes. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to tell you to do it like that. I'm going to tell you to ask yourself why. In other words, if I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, I thank the Lord for being saved. Why? Add to it. Why? You know, because something. And I told him that. I told them I was going to start throwing out the question when they did that. And so the next Wednesday night, none of them did that. They came with something to say. They said more than one sentence. Because I told them I was going to sit there and I was going to ask them why. You know, and I don't think it was an invasion. You know, I mean, they stood up. They testified that I don't know why. And if I ask why, they should be able to tell me. And so... so when they came the next Wednesday, now I will tell you, there were some that did not come. I don't know if they were afraid or if something really came up. I don't know. But the ones that came with more than, I'm glad I'm saved. They said more. They said why they were glad. They, we're going to have to open up our mouths. You know, the song says, let the gates of praise be open. They're talking about your lips. Amen. Let them be opened. It says that we're supposed to praise in the congregation. We're supposed to praise out among our friends, among our family. We're supposed to testify here and there and everywhere. If you can't do it in the congregation, how are you ever going to do it in a parking lot? How are you going to do it in the line at the store? How are you going to do it someplace where something is going on and you realize after you left, oh, I could have said so-and-so. Because you know why? Because you're not used to talking about him. You're used to having all these inner things about him, these inner thoughts and inner thanksgivings and things inside of you, but you're not used to letting them out. And so you don't have it when it's needed, when it's time. You don't have it. So we need to exercise ourselves. We won't get any better at it if we don't do more. We won't get any better at it. It says in John 5 and 39, it says, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify of the God, of the Lord. The scriptures testify. And we read the testimony of the Lord, and we don't repeat it. We don't repeat the testimony that God himself wrote down as a testimony, and we don't repeat it. We read the scriptures through the week. There was not one scripture that stood out that you can testify about on Wednesday. There's not one scripture that you felt like you could stand up and read and say how it blessed you or what you thought about afterwards or anything. Nothing? Does that mean that we're reading the scriptures just to read and not really taking in? I told him at home, don't just make a schedule and say, I'm going to read a chapter in the morning and a chapter at night. I said, you don't have to do that. You know how the scriptures are divided up into what you might call paragraphs. One thought is finished, and even though the chapter isn't finished, that thought is finished, and then it jumps to another one. I said, get a hold of the thought. Get a hold of that and carry it with you all through the day and see what it will do. Rather than reading through a whole chapter that may have several different thoughts and none of them stick and none of them that you take time to meditate through the day. So it's no wonder that when you come on Wednesday, you don't have any scriptures that have meant something deep to you because you haven't divided them out and meditated through the day and taken them with you as you've gone and applied them and said them over and over and really got a hold of something. The scriptures testify. And so we can't bring even a scripture on Wednesday night, a special scripture that blessed us. It says in Philippians 1 and 11, it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Being filled with fruit. We have fruit? We know when we have fruit. We know when we're advancing. We know when we're getting somewhere. Can we testify about what fruit God has worked in us that week? Can we testify about the things that he's given us? The fruit that is working in our life? Maybe it's a fruit you haven't even thought about for a while. Something that you got a hold of way back. But it worked again this week. Are we thankful every time it works? You know, some of us maybe had to learn how to control our thoughts. We had to learn how to do that. They got away from us. They went places we didn't want them to go. And we learned how to control our thoughts and everything. There was nothing you had to control this week. You can't come and tell us about how this thought or whatever came and you were able through God to control it. I'm convinced that joy of the Lord is wrapped up in our testimony. Our testimony. If we don't have a testimony and we don't have something to share, we probably aren't experiencing the real joy in our experience and in the Word to be able to share. We're not experiencing it. That's why we can't testify about it. God wants us. He wants us to be able to testify of the things, the fruits in our life. We see them growing. We see them changing. We see them advancing. We see ripe fruit. We look back where we came from. You know, it's all right to reach back 20 years and tell us about where you came from and then tell us what happened today. It's okay. It's all right. I don't know about anybody else, but I never get tired of hearing where people came from. I don't get tired of it. It's joyful. It's food. I tell the congregation at home that Wednesday nights, you feed me. And I told them, you're starving me. They laughed. But I think they're going to do a better job. Because I need food too. I need things. I need encouragement. I need things to come. Every Wednesday night, I don't feel like super excited to stand up and testify. But I can. I can. I can tell what God does. And as I do it, as I reach out and as I do it, He begins to pour in something. And you can feel it. You can feel it. And then you have a whole lot more to say and all. Then that's why I told them not to say, I'm just going to get up and say, I'm saved and sit down. Because that's what they plan. They don't give the Lord any chance to work with them. They don't give Him any chance to help them. The scriptures testify. We can testify about the fruits in our lives. And then in Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, can we just be excited and happy that we've been accepted? You know, that we're actually accepted. We're part of the family. Oh, listen, dear ones. We are going to have to open our mouths. We have to open our mouths. It's the way we overcome the wicked one. It's the one that is accusing us all the time. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not the thoughts of their testimony. Not your private prayers. The word of the testimony. And we saw what happened this morning. When everybody started letting out the praises of God. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, that's wonderful. We don't have these services enough. We don't have enough of these kind of things. You know why? Because we think the one was enough. This morning was enough. It's not enough. Amen. It's not enough. We can have another one of these. And it could be when the house is full. Yes. And to where all of those ones that came here ready to resist the gospel can't resist the word of the testimonies. Right. See, we accept it's over. We've had our one testimony service. Yeah. No. The Lord may bring many more. He may bring forth testimonies every service because People hear, they learn something, they hear something. You teach them, you hit the soft spots. You hit the places you talk about and everything. You hit the very place where they're living and they know it. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's how we overcome, and it can help them to overcome. It said, and the goodness of God leads men to repentance. See, we stand up and tell about the goodness of God. Isn't that supposed to lead them to repentance? Isn't it supposed to bring them? When we tell about how he's done this and he's done that. And listen, just because you've testified once in this meeting about a certain thing, you can get up and testify it again. You know why? Because everybody didn't hear it. Everybody didn't hear it. And there may be somebody here that needs to hear it, but they weren't here. And it's okay to say it again. And you know what? We don't need to sit here feeling uncomfortable. Oh, they already said that. No. The Lord wants our mouths to be open, full of praise, being willing to let forth everything that God has done for us and talk about it and be vulnerable and just talk about. People are in sad conditions, and you can talk about something that is a sad condition they're going through and how you, the Lord brought you through and what he did for you. You don't even know you touched him, and you will never know that maybe you touched him. You may never know. But God, he will take that with him, and God will deal in his heart and talk to him about that and bring that back to his mind ever so often. He will bring it back and bring it back. Maybe even more so than anything they hear in the message. Because a personal testimony means something. In the courts of our land, personal testimony means something. It's not just hearsay. See, the minister gets up here, and it's a little bit like hearsay. I'm preaching what it says in the word. I'm preaching what, you know. But a personal testimony, that'll stand up in court. Pardon me? Can't be gainsaid. It'll stand up in the congregation. It'll stand up with the sinner. They will remember that better than many of the words that are spoken up here. So I want to encourage everyone to open up and to allow the Lord to let it flow out of you. Let it come. And I know what I'm talking about when I say it's not easy. I understand. I'm there. I got it. I understand, but we all have to learn. Don't wait till you're my age to learn. Do it sooner. Be more. You know, bless the service. Bless the hearers. Bless the preacher. Bless them. Bless the Lord. Agree with the word. Agree with what's going forth. Lord, we've got to do a better job. We are so quiet. People coming in might not even think we believe what we're hearing. You know, people are moved by emotion. Emotion does move people. That's why so many churches have so many things to move emotion. See, what moves us here? Singing and testimony moves emotion in our services. That's what moves emotion here. Singing and testimony. Lord, help us to open up and be more and let it flow forth. You know, amen. Stand up. Raise your hand. Whatever. Oh, we used to have so much more freedom. And I will tell you this. And I hope it's not. Well, anyway. I was in Pacoima for all those years. In a black congregation. And right now, the congregation I'm in is black. They're more emotional than we are. I have to tell you, they are. And they show it more. And they let loose more. And they're not afraid to show emotion and let things out and cry. And they're not. And we're more reserved. It's a cultural thing. But God wants to transcend all cultures. And when he said we're going to overcome, By our testimony?
Yes.
It is the way we're going to do it.
Yes.
You aren't going to do it any other way. You keep all that to yourself. You don't tell about your battles. You don't tell about how the Lord helped you. You don't tell about how he did this or he did that. You're going to be fighting the devil all by yourself. But you get up and you testify about it. Not only will other people hear it and be praying for you about that thing, but you have just struck a death blow to the accuser.
Amen.
That was on you, that was coming right after you, and trying to hang on your shoulder. You have dealt him a death blow.
Yes.
By doing that. And we need to deal him more blows all the time. We overcome him.
Amen.
By the word of our testimony.
Yes.
We see we have him to deal with. And that's how we do it. God did his part. He washed us with his blood, cleaned us up. Our part is, our testimony has to overcome the other part. Amen.